and welcome to the Mean Time to Insight podcast, brought to you by Enterprise Management Associates and presented by EMA Vice President of Research, Seamus McGillicuddy. The EMA Mean Time to Insight podcast explores emerging trends and technologies in the world of network infrastructure and operations.
Hey everyone, this is Seamus coming to you from my home office for the MTTI podcast. Thanks for joining me again. This is another solo effort by me, just to talk about something I'm seeing in my research these days. I think last episode I talked about how you establish a network source of truth and how that can help you drive network automation. I'm going to touch on network automation again because I did recently do a big report on the topic where I surveyed a little more than 350 people who were focused on automating networks. And I also talked to lots and lots of people one-on-one, got lots of good insights into what people are doing around automation. I think this is really the hottest topic out there in the world of network engineering and operations is how you automate your network. And I feel like there's a lot of community engagement. There's a lot of vendor activity, obviously, but it's not just vendor down activity. It's like IT professionals doing their own things, trying to invent new ways to do automation. And that actually gets to the root of the question that I want to sort of pose to you rhetorically at the beginning of this episode, which is when you're looking to do network automation, should you build it yourself or should you buy something? And this is a question that I think people ask themselves with a lot of IT management tools. They start by saying, hey, can I build this tool or find something free or open source to fulfill this need? Or do I need to buy something from a vendor? It's often a decision that's driven by like a few things like budget. Can I afford to buy a tool or is my boss telling me that I gotta put something together using open source or whatever? Or do I have a lot of money to buy the best thing out there? Or am I gonna buy something that's almost good enough and then I'll fill in the gaps, whatever? The other thing is kind of related to that filling in the gaps question, which is what are my requirements? For instance, like if I build it on my own, it's going to, you know, I'm building it with my network in mind and it's going to do what I want it to do. Commercial tool, something you buy off the shelf might do everything. Maybe some things better than others. And maybe some of those things that you need it to do, it's not that great at. So that looks like a binary choice. And what I see is in network automation, it isn't necessarily the case as a binary choice because we're seeing this interesting dynamic play out. And probably a lot of you won't find this surprising, but my research is finding that rather than decide between build or buy, which I think a lot of people look at as like it's one or the other, it's not both. But what we're seeing is it's more of an all of the above approach. When we surveyed those 350 people from my research on network automation a couple months back, 93% of them said that they have some DIY, some do-it-yourself automation in place. And when I say DIY, it wasn't that they were like writing some scripts here and there. It was actual tooling. Like they had written some homegrown software or they were using some sort of open source software and adapting it to their environment. At the same time, 100% of them said they had at least one commercial network automation tool, something they bought from a network automation vendor or a network management vendor or a network infrastructure vendor who supplies their switches and their routers or whatever, or an open source tool supported by a vendor as opposed to something they pulled off the internet and deployed on their own without any commercial support. So that's another example of a commercial solution is an open source tool supported by a vendor, which in a lot of cases actually like might be described as an open core vendor too, because what you see a lot in the network automation space, but in other IT management spaces as well, is vendors who develop an open source tool early on in their startup phase and then commercialize it in some way, either like offer a more feature-rich and more robust version for a fee or like offer it for free, but offer enterprise support around it. So that's an example of a commercial solution as opposed to a DIY solution. So what you see is, in effect, 93% of them are doing both. You know, 93% said we have DIY and 100% said we have commercial. So by definition, 93% of them, since 100% have commercial, 93% of them have commercial and DIY. So it's an all of the above approach. They're doing it both. They're doing both. They're not making that choice between build versus buy. They're like, we're filling in all the gaps with all of the above approach. So why are they doing it that way? First off, we asked them, what motivates you to take a DIY approach to network automation? And we found that there are four primary drivers. The first, they told us, well, this is the way that I get the functionality and the capability that is most aligned to my specific network. And I remember having a conversation with someone about this a few years back when commercial solutions were less mature than they are today. This is probably like 5 years ago. Somebody who worked for like a co-location provider told me that, you know, he was operating multiple data centers because he was a co-location provider. And at the time, he was looking at all these commercial tools that could automate his switching infrastructure in his data centers, multiple data centers. And he was finding that most of the vendors on the market at that time couldn't support all of his data centers because he had some diversity in the types of topologies and control planes that he was using from data center to data center. And most of the vendors could support some of those designs, but not all of them. So he ended up writing his own software so that he could do that. So you might say to yourself, well, we have a lot of diverse network designs across different sites. We need to automate across all of them. Some vendors are more prescriptive in what they can do. They don't fully support all the types of networks I have, so I need to write some of this stuff on my own. The second biggest driver of DIY was security and compliance requirements. Vendors that we like in this one area of automation that we're trying to address right now, they're all delivering this via the cloud. We don't want our data in the cloud, or the vendor we're using for this functionality has had a breach recently and compromised a network. So we're dumping them and replacing them. And what are we going to replace them with? DIY. So that's an example of the motion in security and compliance. They can't use what they want to use, or they have to get rid of what they're using for some kind of reason that I just described. The third one won't surprise you, and it's cost savings. We have no budget, so I'm using this open source tool. I had a conversation just a couple weeks ago with someone who was telling me that if he just had $50,000 more budget a year, he would be completely happy with his network automation tool set. And what he was thinking specifically, the fact that he needed to modernize his approach to IP address management. And he pitched it to his boss, whoever the budget stakeholder was. He's like, this is why IP address management is important. This is how it's going to automate this, you know, how we assign IP addresses to parts of our network as we're automating and orchestrating things. We need to buy a commercial product. And he just wasn't able to close the deal with that stakeholder. The stakeholder was like, can't you just do this with a spreadsheet? Which is just a terrible thing to hear. And of course, he said to himself, I'm not doing this with a spreadsheet. So what did he do? He got an open source tool, and then he asked one of the network engineers on his team that worked for him to do a little coding with it to make it more suitable to the needs of their organization. So that's an example of how cost savings, or lack of available budget in that case specifically, led them down the road of DIY. And then finally, filling in the gaps in commercial stuff. The commercial tool automates this, but I'd like to automate this sort of manual process within it. An example of this might be like you've bought a software-defined networking product that in and of itself automates a lot of operations, right? SDN, that's kind of the selling point of a software-defined product, is like, we automate a lot of things through centralized control, through decoupling the control plane from the data plane so that you can centralize and automate management through it. But sometimes your vendors don't automate all the processes around that. Maybe it's good at automating day one and day two operations, but terrible at automating day zero operations. Let's say you've adopted a software-defined networking product to implement micro-segmentation and tenant networking in your data center. And it's good at being a micro-segmentation overlay, but actually designing that overlay is not very automated. That's a very manual process that takes you weeks, months to implement and also manage change through. And so I've actually talked to multiple people over the years who wrote homegrown network automation software whose whole job was to automate that process in an SDN controller, to automate the design of segmentation in a controller so that it would ease operational pain. So that's an example of that. On the commercial side, we saw three big drivers of commercial adoption. There are many, many others, of course, but the three that came to the top of the list when we asked them about it, it began with security and compliance requirements, which actually was number two for DIY drivers, but it's number one for commercial drivers. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, how can security and compliance requirements be a driver of both? Wouldn't it be one or the other? Well, it's different depending on what you're thinking of. Like on the DIY side, security and compliance requirements might be about like, we can't be in the cloud with this vendor. We need to do something on our own. They only offer this through the cloud, but we can use this version that's on site, that's open source, and we'll use that. Or, you know, a vendor had a breach, we can't trust them anymore. On the commercial side, you know, might be something as prosaic as, well, our security group doesn't let us use open source software for this part of network automation. No, you're not storing your security policies and your design standards in an open source tool. You need to use a vendor for that. So get rid of that open source tool and buy something. That's an example of how security and compliance can push you towards commercial for maybe a certain product. You know, number two requirement is general platform requirements. And here you get into like one of the potential weaknesses of DIY automation. That's, well, is the platform going to meet our needs from the standpoint of scalability and stability and integration and things like that? People tell me that they can build something in-house that can scale to dozens or hundreds of devices, but they might not have the software development and engineering expertise to scale to tens of thousands of devices. And so like when you try to take that DIY tool and push tens of thousands of changes simultaneously, the tool might break, or perhaps it just takes all day to push the changes through. And what happens if you are like halfway through watching that change and you're like, oh, I think I did something wrong in my config change, and all these changes being pushed through are going to be wrong and my network's going to be messed up. Okay. But the tool won't let me pause the change and revert the change. I have to let it go through and complete its change, and then I can revert it. Things like that happen, which is a platform consideration. And then the third big one is depth and breadth of functionality. Usually when you build something in-house, when I have conversations with people about this, they're building something in-house, they're usually creating a tool that tackles one or two use cases. They're trying to solve some pain points in network engineering and operations that they've identified, and they're trying to demonstrate value by building a tool that can fix that pain point or two pain points, right? And so you've got this tool that does two specific things, but the rest of your network is still characterized by manual operations. So you've solved a couple of things, right? That's the path towards DIY. You prove that you solved the thing, then you get permission and support to add more capabilities, either like adding features to the tool set if you've written it in a way that allows you to extend it, or, you know, write another tool. You know, vendors, when they come to market, they want to sell to as many customers as possible. So they come to market with a rich feature set. They'll do more than what you need at the moment, for instance. But like, oh, I can do this, this, and this. Oh, you just want to use this for that? Well, yeah, you can buy us and we'll do that. And if you want to do these other two things or these other 20 things in the future, go ahead. You'll be able to do more with the tool out of the box, basically. And you may only buy it and use it for one or two things initially. And then as you learn to trust it as a team, you'll embrace it for other things as well. So yeah, it's there and it's ready to do more than you need it to do. So that's an advantage. So that shows you why they're doing an all of the above approach. We also asked them, now we asked these people who have the all above the approach, we're like, would you say that your network automation tool set is dominated by one or the other? 69% told us we lean more heavily towards commercial than DIY. 10% said they lean more heavily towards DIY. And then 21% said we don't really lean one way or the other. Both domains are playing a big role in how we automate things. I think the bottom line is whether you're doing commercial or DIY, both are bringing value to your network teams. And network automation is really about composing a tool set, not building one tool that rules everything. You're adopting multiple solutions and using, you know, documented processes, APIs, vendor-supported integrations to combine all of that into a solution, multiple tools into a solution. And that's why it's important to recognize that this isn't a binary choice between DIY and commercial. You're going to have sprawling sets of tools to enable network automation in all likelihood. You're going to have Python scripts. You're going to have Ansible playbooks, but you're also going to have a source of truth like IP address management, configuration management databases. You're probably going to have a lab or some kind of tool that brings you an ability to test and validate changes before you push them out. And you might also have some tools from your switching and routing vendors and your firewall vendors and your SD-WAN provider that automate portions of your network in certain ways. And all of these pieces are probably going to need to fit together into workflows that enable a more automated approach to network management. And you're probably going to be using a lot of APIs. You might engage professional services from certain vendors or consulting firms. You're going to lean heavily on customer support from your commercial vendors. And any help you can get to pull things together like that will be essential. And maybe someday we'll get to the point where a vendor develops a tool that does everything you could imagine to automate networking, but I don't see that happening anytime soon or ever, really, to be honest. So no one tool is going to get you to what you need to be today. It's going to be a composable solution with a mix of DIY and commercial, and that's okay. And I just want to get that point across. It's okay if things feel like they're overstuffed, sprawling, a mess. As long as you like integrate as much as possible, as long as you document what you have for a tool set and have like some controls around how the tool evolves to sort of protect you as people come and go in your organization and new people coming in can understand the way you set things up so that there's sort of like a knowledge base in place to ensure the long-term viability of what you've put together, composed. I think you'll have a successful strategy. And I think this is just the way it's going to be. And I just want to end with this one quote that I heard from an IT tools architect at a Fortune 500 media company who I guarantee you have watched a TV show from or a movie from over the last year. He said, "We have a hybrid strategy. We can buy some commercial tools where it makes sense, but we are also developing tools internally where we can't get the capabilities we need from vendors. Commercial tools can meet about 80% of our needs. The rest we do on our own." So if he at a multi-billion dollar company that's making your favorite TV shows and movies has to go that way, you do too. And you can find success that way. I guarantee it. So with that, I'm going to let you go. And until next time, happy networking.
Thanks, Seamus, for all your great insights on today's topic. And thank you to everyone who listened. Learn more about Enterprise Management Associates, research and consulting services by visiting enterprisemanagement.com.